It's the story, stupid. Welcome to a very special episode of It's the Story, Stupid. I almost said Blossom there. I am at the Orson Scott Card writing class. Was there yesterday and going back today. It's a little before 7 a.m. in the morning. And I had the wonderful opportunity to sit down with Orson Scott Card and the editor of his new online magazine, Intergalactic Medicine Show, and talk with them about the state of science fiction, the state of short fiction, writing, his work, all kinds of things. I was expecting to get about a 20-minute interview, but Card can talk, and I ended up with about an hour's worth of stuff. So I'm actually going to split this into three different sections. I asked him questions on writing, questions on his own work, and questions on Intergalactic Medicine Show, which ended up going off into a lot of tangents about science fiction and the state of short fiction. And I'm going to try and put these up in, like I said, three different sections probably over the next few days. While I'm still here, I'm going to try and put this first one up, which was some of the questions I asked him about writing, which he was very gracious to sit there and answer all the questions, and his wife was amazingly patient to sit there and wait for me to ask all the questions so she could go get supper with him. I want to thank him again for all of the great advice that he gives. His class is wonderful. A lot of the same advice that he has in his books, but in a much more dynamic setting. So before you turn this off because you're listening to me instead of him, here's the interview.
What are your questions? I will try my best to answer them.
Okay, I'll start off with one that my sister is going to be most interested in because she's a teacher, and WordTrip has WordTripJR.com that's oriented towards a 5th to 10th grade writer. Mm-hmm. Some book discussion, some writing group critique. What's the bit of advice that you think that the younger writer is going to benefit from more than older?
Okay, first of all, I want to undo really bad advice that they keep getting given.
Okay.
One of them is write what you know.
Okay.
But when you're in 5th grade, you don't know anything. So the real advice, in fact, when you're in 10th grade, you don't know anything. And that's not meant to be offensive. You don't really know it. You're living through it. You have, you know, you function in your society, but you're not in a position to evaluate the life you're leading. I didn't understand myself in my teens until I was well into my 30s. I did not understand myself as a child until I was well into my 20s. And even then, I still had some revisions. So what do you actually know? Not much. The real advice is know what you write. That is, if you want to write a story set in some far-off universe, make sure you thoroughly invent the universe. If you want to write about a married couple, then I don't care if you're in 5th grade, you can write about a married couple, even though you've never been married. But not if you just take whatever picture you have of your mom and dad and extrapolate, or whatever picture you get from the movies. You have to actually sit there and think, okay, how do married people get along? You can think about this when you're 10 years old. You know, how do you take two people who have not lived together, who didn't grow up together, who don't even speak the same language, really? How do they form what becomes a marriage? So you look at your own parents and you think, how do they decide how to handle Christmas, if they have Christmas? You know, because they both came from different families with different traditions. What if one of them was an open presence on Christmas Eve person and one comes from an open presence on Christmas? I mean, that sounds trivial, but you got to sit and decide.
Yeah.
How do they decide what breakfast consists of? Are you a scrambled eggs and bacon man and you married a hotcakes and sausage woman? Well, you can make that one work together, but what if you married the piece of toast and a little bit of jam person?
Yeah.
How do you decide what breakfast is then? What do you do? How did you decide who cooked? What if dad's a better cook, but mom doesn't think that you can be a good wife unless you're doing the cooking? You know, how do you resolve things like that? A 10-year-old can think about those things. Who handles the money? Well, why? Why does mom handle a checkbook and dad doesn't? Or why does dad always handle the money and not mom? Is it because mom's bad at money? Is it because dad had a need to control the money? You have to start thinking of those things. Well, as soon as you start thinking of those, you are in a far better position to be able to write about it. You don't have to be 30 to write it. You just have to go through the thought process to find out what is going on. Now, what if you imagine and you get it wrong? The funny thing is, you probably won't get it wrong, or at least not impossibly wrong. It might not be like every marriage, but nothing's like every marriage. It'll be a believable marriage because you've thought it through. I mean, I've had a lot of times when I've just guessed at something. Because I've written a blind person, or I've written a crippled person, and then later on I hear from somebody who's crippled in that way and says, you got it right. One experiment, I wrote Lost Boys when I had not lost a child, and I imagined the death of one of my own children. And then years later, one of my children died under completely different circumstances. But I realized as I was writing it, as I was rereading it years later, I did get it right. I could only imagine it, but I went through this kind of process where I tried to go through, imagine all the circumstances, and I got it right, or at least right enough, that it still rings true to me after having gone through the actual experience. And I get reports from readers, yeah, you did this right. I also get reports from readers, you blew it, you got it completely wrong. But to them I say, I didn't write your experience.
No.
But I wrote this character's experience, because I usually, when something is protested that way, that's not believable. I've had other people who say, no, that was exactly right. You did it exactly right. That's the way it was for me. And so I feel like it's legitimate enough. Young readers can do that. Second piece of advice for young writers, can do that. The second piece of advice for young writers is write all the time. Everybody's got about 10,000 pages of crap that they have to get through. And sometimes you have to write all 10,000 pages before you start selling anything. Some of us, like me, I'm lucky. I get to write my crap right along with the good stuff and sell it all. Because nobody knows which page is going to be crap. So, this was a crappy page, but hey, it's in a book I'm liking. So, good. I'm fine. I win. But you just got to write. You learn more from writing 300 pages than from taking a class on writing 300 pages. And so do it. And then remember, too, that you learn far more from the books that you don't like than you do from the books that you do like. So as a writer, if you want to write science fiction, but all you've ever read is science fiction, you've crippled yourself. If you think you hate women's romances, then for heaven's sake, read some romances. Because you want to be a writer, don't you?
Yeah.
So you need to learn techniques and tools that are not always available from the works you admire. If your motive for writing is, oh, I loved Aragon so much, I want to write something just like that, how can you possibly learn to be better than the writer of Aragon? How can you learn to write your work? But if instead you go, hey, if crap like that can get published, I can write. That's the better motive for writing. That's the better motive for starting. So deliberately read things you don't think you're going to like. Read the best of them. Read the ones that other people say, if you want to read a good romance, this is the best. If you want to read a good historical novel, this is the best. Good Christian fiction, this is the best writer. Find out what the real readers of that genre think is the best, and then you read at least one or two, so that you get a different tool set. You get a different perspective. I'm shocked at the number of science fiction writers who are really just rewriting all the stories they've ever read and not coming up with anything new. Another piece of advice, treasure your non-literary friends. And that begins right away. Treasure your friends who don't read, who don't care that you want to write, who aren't interested in hearing your stories. Treasure them, because they're the people you're going to write about. Not because you're going to model a character on them specifically. Don't do that. You get sued, you lose friends. But because you're going to find out, you're going to remember that people who don't care about literature don't spend a lot of time talking about it. What do they talk about?
Yeah.
You need to know. And you won't know if you just rely on what you and your friends talk about. If you are a young writer, chances are very good, with some exceptions, but chances are very good that you have no interest in locker room conversations about sports. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Most writers don't. But yet, you're going to write characters who do. So why aren't you in there listening?
Yeah.
Why aren't you finding out the way that they talk about sports, the kinds of things they talk about? As a writer, you have to know everything about everything. You'll never succeed, but you've got to be trying.
Yeah.
And if you're not interested in sports, then you've got to learn about sports. If you're not interested in history, you've got to get history. If you're not interested in religion, your characters will be, because you're going to write a character who's religious, and you want it to ring true even to your religious readers. They got to have a sense that you know what you're talking about. So learn it all.
I really like that. And a follow-up that's kind of similar, but not as geared towards the end of writers. What do you think is the advice that a lot of new writers, your students or otherwise, the advice that they ignore to their detriment the most? What do you think of that?
Most important one, and I just had an example just now. A former student took boot camp, was really good, but I pounded and pounded the idea that I was pounding today Get us into character right away. Don't withhold information needlessly. Tell us what's going on. Let us know. Communicate. Your job is to tell a story. So for Pete's sake, tell it. Don't leave us to try to guess what's going on with little tiny clues. Just tell us what's going on. That'll allow us to care. Could I have said that more often and more clearly?
I don't think so.
And yet, good writer, smart guy, handed me a story and did not realize that he was doing exactly what I was begging people not to do. He withheld all the key information. We had no idea what was going on for 3 pages. No reason to continue. And yet, once I found out what was going on, it was brilliant stuff. And if he'd opened with the information, which I'm not going to say because it's his story to tell,
yeah.
If he'd opened with the premise of the story, we would have loved it. So that's the common way that the people shoot themselves in the foot, is trying to create suspense by keeping us from knowing stuff when we need to be told it right away. The other thing is that they don't know anything about what they're talking about, and so they embarrass themselves. But that's the same, you know, don't write what you know what you write, advice that I gave to young writers.
Yeah.
Adults keep on making those mistakes forever.
Okay.
The other advice, finish a story and get it out the door. If you keep fiddling with and rewriting the same old story, the first draft is the only good draft. So get it right the first time, because there should be no other. Now, I don't mean that no matter what you write, you can't throw it away. Oh, I throw away drafts at a time. But then I start over, not fixing, fiddling, rewriting. I start over from scratch without looking at the previous material, doing different scenes, having characters do different things. I truly am writing a new story. And that's the only rewriting that is worth anything. It's not a new draft. It's not a second draft. It's still a first draft of this version of the story.
Yeah.
And you just get it right. Because that's the draft that's alive. That's the draft that is in your voice. What happens when you fiddle with it is it gets deader and deader. The paragraphs start falling apart. The sentences separate from each other. As you rewrite a sentence, it no longer fits in its paragraph. You can't rewrite your way from a bad book to a good one. But you can often rewrite your way from a good book to a bad one.
Okay. I'm going to end with the last question so you can go get some food. Are there any fiction authors or books specifically that you recommend for writers to help them get a good idea of what good writing is?
You mean models? But yeah. Remember, I just told you that, or maybe I didn't, you learn more from bad writing than you do from good.
Right.
So, no, I don't want to do that. In my fiction book, I had to use some good examples, and I used Octavia Butler. You can't find a better science fiction writer than her. Used some of her early work. The fact is, toward later in her career, her work became more arty and less exemplary of good, clear writing. But it didn't matter because we all loved her by then, and we knew that she was going to deliver a great story, so we were more patient with slower openings. But she's a master of expository flow. She tells great stories clearly and well. So she's a model. Anne Tyler, Richard Russo. Even though each of them has written some books that aren't as good as others, with Richard Russo, Nobody's Fool, basically his first 3 novels are masterpieces. Empire Falls has some serious structural flaws. But oddly enough, the weakest of his books was the one made into the TV movie. It's frustrating. But Nobody's Fool is a brilliant book that was made into a brilliant movie. I recommend that highly. Anne Tyler. Back when we were grown-ups, breakfast at the, or dinner at the Homesick Restaurant, I can't remember which meal it is. Breakfast of Champions is Vonnegut, dinner at the Homesick Restaurant. She's got so many. I mean, her work, she and Russo, Anne Tyler and Richard Russo are the finest writers working in America today.
Outside of Orson Scott Card, of course.
No. I don't make an exception for me. These are wonderful writers doing things that I wish I knew how to do. But you're not going to learn as much from reading them as you are from reading some piece of junk that just makes you crazy. You have to look at, okay, this got published, why? Why is it making me crazy? What is he doing wrong? How would I fix it? You learn from fixing other people's work. My best training was working as an editor at the Ensign magazine in Salt Lake City. I was a rewrite guy.
Yeah.
And I'd get somebody's 40-page stuff and be told to fit it into 3 pages. Distill it, find the essence. That was great training for me. You got to find ways to do that for yourself, too. Find a story you hate, write your own version of the story that's better. That's what Shakespeare did. And publish it. You know, it's not plagiarism if you completely change it so that it's good now.
Yeah.
It's only plagiarism if you're using his language and just fiddling with it and passing it off as your own. If you take the plot of something, but you change it because you hate what he did with it,
yeah.
And you make it your own, it's your story now.
Cool. Any parting shots?
No, no.
Just need some food.
Once I start babbling, I go on forever anyway. So you're right to end it now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
It was my pleasure.
Well, that was the interview with Orson Scott Card, asking him questions about writing. I want to thank him again for all the great advice and for his patience. Please, please visit oscigms.com or intergalacticmedicineshow.com or follow through from his site, hatrack.com. There's some great stories in there. It's a really reasonable price at $2.50 an issue. There's, I think, half a dozen stories per issue. There's columns. There's a new short story in the Ender saga per issue. And there's a lot of really great stuff. And I really wish him a lot of success with it. And I hope that everybody listening can spare the $2.50 to go in and buy an issue and help support what I think is a really good addition to the publishing world by having good quality sci-fi short fiction available online at a reasonable price. And thank you much, and you'll be hearing from me again soon. And remember, it's the story, stupid.